Please stand in body or in spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We beg for crumbs. We ask to be healed. It is good for us to be here today. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear us.
For the peace
Gracious God, throughout the ages you transform sickness into health and death into life. Open us to the power of your presence and make us people ready to proclaim your promises to the whole world. Through Jesus Christ, our healer and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
First reading today is from the 35th chapter of Isaiah. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 146 responsively with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The second reading is from the second chapter of James. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs in the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails one point has become accountable for all it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. From there Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then Jesus said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand upon him. Jesus took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears. He spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be Christ.
You may be seated, as if you weren't going to sit down anyway. So, I'm not preaching on James, although I do have to say, don't really agree with him on that. Faith without works is not dead. Faith without works is not faith. That is better put. Anyway, we will move on to the sermon. What do you think? I don't know. Retired, what, did I get it right? Yes, I got it. The retired pastor says I got it right. All right, good. Anyway, he's probably not going to agree with me on this one. We talk about Jesus too much. Ooh, ooh. He doesn't agree. Anybody? There was actually a kid in the other service that, when I said that, said, "What? No, we don't. That's why we're here." And she's probably right. She's probably right. But I will say this. Because we care so much about what Jesus says and does in gospel texts like the one today, we risk missing what's going on, what is being said and done by the supporting cast. In the case of this Syrophoenician woman, a woman who is so apparently unimportant and easily overlooked that neither she nor her demon-possessed daughter are even named. We miss what she says and does, and instead we focus on Jesus' cringeworthy rebuke today. And when we do this, we risk missing just how important, the unnoticed, the unnamed, the pushed aside really are. And I think we will find out that this Syrophoenician woman, when we pay attention to her, we will find that she perhaps changes Jesus' entire ministry. It's a bold claim. I will try to convince you. But first, that notorious rebuke. Without that rebuke and understanding it, we wouldn't understand what comes next. Notorious because we can't imagine this Jesus, the Jesus we've come to know and love, saying to a helpless woman, let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. I read this metaphorically, as in, let the children, as in the children of Israel, is how I read that, be fed first. It's not fair to take their food and throw it to the dogs, throw it to you, a Syrophoenician woman. It's not really all that nice of a thing to say, is it? It's so out of character that we want to talk about Jesus. We want to talk about what he says. We want to save Jesus. We want to help him take his foot out of his mouth because you don't want Jesus to stand there all day with his foot in his mouth. I can't even do that. Surely he didn't mean it the way we hear it, did he? We have to save him from his own words. He was merely testing her. He was testing her faith. But I say, excuse me, what? She showed up. She was there kneeling at his feet. That is faith. She threw herself at his feet. She begged for help, didn't she? If this is not faith, I don't know what faith is. We cannot stop here. We cannot stop in this moment focusing only on Jesus and his words, because if we do, we miss out on what's really going on today. This Syrophoenician woman, she persists. She responds to Jesus' answer. This woman has now entered into a dialogue, right? A conversation with Jesus. While kneeling at Jesus' feet, what does she do? She prays. This is a prayer, isn't it? This is a prayer. This is a conversation with Jesus and with God. It is a dialogue, not a monologue, as in she prays to Jesus. She says, she starts the conversation. She prays her petition. She says, cast the demon out for my daughter. And then she listens. She waits to see what Jesus has to say. And Jesus, we hear today, responds pretty unfavorably, right? But I have to ask, what was his answer? Not the long version. What's the short answer? What did he say? Come on. We're not moving on until somebody says.
No.
No. Close. Close. Now, when I was little and I was taught to pray, I don't remember when. Like, I just remember when I was little and I was taught to pray. I was taught that God answers prayers in three ways. What are they? Yes, no, and what? Later, or not yet, or we'll see, or maybe. That's usually my answer to my kids. Maybe usually means no. But anyway, yes, no, and not yet is what I was taught. What does Jesus say, though? He says, let the children be fed first. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. As in, once the children are fed, once the children are fed, the Jewish people are fed, once they are saved, then you can be fed. As in, not yet. And if you're wondering, how can I have read this so many times without catching the first, I have to admit I didn't catch it till this week. I have to ask this question. Can your prayers, can my prayers, can our collective prayers influence God? Can we, through prayer, change God's mind? I heard a no. Can we do it? Yes. Lydia's like, I don't know. Good answer. You can't be right or wrong. I very firmly believe that we can, and we do, change God's mind when we pray. Sometimes. Sometimes. Not all the time. Not all the time. But sometimes. So this is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians. Do not worry about anything, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then beyond Paul, let's go way, way back into Scripture. Genesis, Exodus. Scripture tells us that God changes God's mind sometimes, sometimes, when we pray. Genesis chapter 18. Not too long before this, God had chosen Abraham as his chosen one, the one through whom all the world would be blessed, right? And God's feeling a little bit guilty, I think. He's like, there's this city over here, Sodom. I plan on destroying it, and I haven't told Abraham yet. So he told Abraham, right? He told Abraham that this was going to happen. Abraham, I just wanted to let you know, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham, rightly, is disturbed. And he begins to plead with God. Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Says Abraham. What if there are 50 righteous people there? Far be it from you, God, a gracious and merciful God, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And what does the Lord say? Abraham says, the Lord responds, if I find 50 righteous, I will forgive the whole place for their sake. Is Abraham happy? No. No. He wants fewer righteous. Not really, but anyway. He's not done. He keeps going. He keeps praying. He keeps begging God's mercy, praying the number down from 50 to 40, 40 to, sorry, 45 to 40, 30, 20, until Abraham says this. Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just one more. Suppose 10 righteous are found there. For the sake of 10, says the Lord, I will not destroy you. Now, we know what happens to Sodom. There are not 10 righteous found there. Sodom is destroyed, but God changed God's mind. God changed God's mind. And if that one doesn't convince you, how about Exodus 32? Anyone know what that one is? The golden calf debacle. Love this one. The Israelites. What word do we want to pick for them? Stupid, idiots, sinners, I don't know. Whatever word we pick for them, we got to throw back to us, okay? Because we're just like them. They got these 10 commandments, and they're already breaking them, kind of like we do every day. They already made an idol. This golden calf. And God, understandably, he's not real happy. So he says this to Moses, stand aside, let me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them. The Hebrew really explains this. God wants to set them on fire. He wants to wipe them from the face of the earth so that I may consume them. And of you, Moses, of you now, you will be my starting point, not Abraham. Of you I will make a great nation. And Moses is like, hold up a second, God. Don't you remember those promises you made to Abraham? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your servants, and how you swore to them by your very own self, saying, I will multiply your descendants like the stars in the heaven, and all this land I will give to them. That is Moses' prayer. And what does God say? We are told, and I quote from the NRSV, and the Lord changed his mind. I'll say it again, and the Lord changed his mind about the disaster he planned to bring on his people. The Lord changed his mind. Because Moses offered a prayer of intercession on behalf of the Israelites, God does not destroy them. God can and does not. Got a reverse course there. God can and does change God's mind. Now, you might be saying, but that's Abraham, that's Moses. These are paragons of the faith, otherwise known as really important people. But this woman, who is she? She's a Syrophoenician, a Gentile, a nobody. So insignificant and so unimportant that she isn't even named. Certainly this woman's feeble prayer, whatever it is, it will not move Jesus, will it? Except for that this nobody Syrophoenician, this woman offers one of the most beautiful and faithful prayers in all of Scripture. Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. As in, Jesus, I don't need to sit at the table with you. I'm not going to, like your disciples do, argue who is to be at your right hand and your left hand when you go to the Father. I don't need to sit there. I don't need the appetizer, the salad, the entree, the desserts. I just need the crumbs. The crumbs on the floor that the kids drop all over the floor. That's all I need. That is enough, she says. She says, I believe that you, Jesus, and your Father in heaven are so good and merciful that even the crumbs, just the crumbs of your saving power, they are enough. The crumbs of your grace and mercy, they are enough. They are enough to cast this demon out of my daughter. Not later, not at a time to be determined. Now. Here and now. Today. And guess what? Jesus changes his mind. For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. From not yet to right now. This is remarkable. It's miraculous. And it is, I believe, a turning point in Jesus' ministry. Now, the reason I say this is he doesn't then just cast the demon from this non-Jewish woman's non-Jewish daughter. We're told that next he returns from the region of Tyre by the way of Sidon. Now, anybody here super duper familiar with Middle Eastern geography? No? I wasn't either. Mike's like, oh yeah, I got it. Where is Tyre in relation, or Sidon in relationship to Tyre?
Way out of the way.
Okay, so this is my Galilee. I like Galilee. It makes me feel safe and comfortable. I've got my notes, okay? That's Galilee. Tyre. These are not where Jews live. Tyre is all the way. Too close for comfort? All the way over here. Where all the people in the back sit. This is Tyre. So if Jesus wants to go back to Galilee from Tyre, how should he go? Walk back around and go right there. But he doesn't. He goes to back to Galilee by way of Sidon. Sidon is somewhere like out here. He goes out and he gets a cup of coffee up here. Okay? But then what does he do? He goes to the region of where? The Decapolis. Okay? So, This center aisle, this is our Jordan River, right? He crosses over the Jordan River, and he comes all the way over here, walks behind his mom, all the way down this way, skips Galilee, and comes over here to the Decapolis. All of you are the Jews kind of in the middle? That's his family and his friends and the people who make him feel comfortable. He doesn't go back to them. He goes all the way around, and he stays in Gentile territory. And, oh, by the way, what does he do down here when he's in the Decapolis? He heals someone else. Not just heals them, but he invites them to the table. He uses his hands. He takes his hands, sticks his fingers in someone's ear, spits, I don't know where, like on his hand, and then puts it on this person's tongue, right? This person is then invited to the table. No more crumbs for the Gentiles. They are invited to the table in this moment. This simple and faithful prayer suddenly is reverberating in Jesus' head, just the crumbs. She said, just the crumbs. And he's like, well, I can spare some crumbs. And he invites all of those people to the table. I think because of her, in that moment, she changed the course of Jesus' ministry with a simple prayer, a faithful prayer. And he's curing Gentile dogs along the way. Is it a mere coincidence that this happens immediately after this prayer? Maybe. We'll never know. But what Jesus does after her prayer, after her plea, it sure seems to me like God's answer of not yet has changed to now for everyone and for all in this moment. So, if you like me, I've never made a secret of this. If you like me struggle with prayer, if you struggle with prayer, this Syrophoenician woman offers us hope. If you ever find yourself asking, does prayer really work? Does prayer matter? Hasn't God already decided? What is the point anyway? It never seems to make a difference for me. Well, maybe we can look at her and be reminded. If God listens, converses, changes God's minds because of that nobody, then maybe God will listen and converse with this nobody. Speaking of nobodies, nobodies aren't nobody. A non-Jew, a non-chosen, and a woman. Could this Syrophoenician woman be any less important? She is super-duper extra non-chosen, extra non-important. And this is good news for the nobodies. The outcast, the one that society shames and looks down upon, the one that we shame and look down upon, the dogs at our feet that maybe we toss a few crumbs to every once in a while. Jesus says yes to these nobodies today. What is true for those at the table is true for those scrounging at the floor and looking up, because even a morsel, even a crumb of God's goodness, grace and mercy is enough. And if you are that flea-ridden, put-upon dog on the floor, well, I hope you hear this as good news, because it most certainly is. And those of us sitting at the table like I am, I mean, I don't like fleas any more than the next person, but what's keeping us from picking up those dogs and bringing them to the table with us and maybe not treating them like dogs? And speaking of God's table for all people, by the way, when Jesus left Tyre, he was on a mission, right? He went to another Gentile land. He went all the way around, out into the gathering space, all the way over here into the corner, right? He used physical touch to heal. You see, no longer were the Gentiles getting the crumbs. He was inviting them to the table. Jesus welcomed. He welcomes all to this table. All to this very table right here. All, as in everyone. As in when we say all are welcome, we really mean all are welcome. We really mean all are welcome. Because it is God's command, and it is God's promise. Speaking of God's promise, Liz, Kevin, Andrew, today you will taste and see the promise of God's goodness for the very first time. Of God's love for you when you come to this table for the very first time. When you receive Holy Communion for the very first time. And guess what? We are not going to feed you crumbs. We will not feed you crumbs. In fact, we're going to feed you the bread that you baked. I hope it's good. We will not feed you crumbs. Jesus will never feed you crumbs. You will receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ today. That which sustains and nourishes us on this earthly pilgrimage. You are invited over and over and over as often as you want to eat of it. So, I will retract my opening statement. I will retract it. Your response convinced me. We cannot talk about Jesus too much. We need to be talking about Jesus more. We need to be bringing the good news to the so-called nobodies more. Instead of holing up in Galilee, instead of me showing up right here and staying here, I need to be going out there and out there and out there. Instead of us holing up in Galilee, this place, it's kind of like our Galilee. It's our safe place. It's where we recognize all the people and we feel comfortable here. This is our sanctuary. We need to leave here. We need to go out there to Tyre and Sidon and the Decapolis and the ends of the earth. We need to go find the lost and the broken and the forgotten and the excluded. We need to listen to their stories, to those out there, because their stories matter. And their stories, well, they might just change us. They might just change the shape of our entire ministry. And we need to let them know that God's grace and mercy extends to them too. That even if they only taste the crumbs of God's grace, that is enough. But then we need to tell them the really, really good news. And it's good news not just for them, but for us and for all people. We do not need to settle for crumbs, because at God's table, the one where we are called to invite everyone, the one where we sit, where there are plenty of open seats, as you can see, at this table, grace upon grace upon grace is heaped up. It is layered. It is stacked so high that it spills over onto the floor and creates crumbs of grace that feed even more people. Here and now. Today. For all. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Drawn together in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray with confidence for the church, for God's good creation, for all who are in need.
Awaken in our community of faith a spirit of radical hospitality. Encourage our churches to celebrate, welcome, and embrace people of diverse backgrounds, experiences, ages, abilities, and disabilities. Deepen our commitment to inter-Lutheran partnerships, especially with St. Paul's and North Robinson, and open a way to renew partnership with Trinity Lutheran in Galleon. Enliven ecumenical partnerships locally, especially the Galleon Ministerial Association and the Cooperative Christian Services of Galleon, and partnerships with non-religious community organizations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Inspire leaders of cities, nations, and tribes to lead with wisdom and humility. Bring peace among peoples in conflict and a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, allowing children to be vaccinated for polio, hostages to be released, food and medical supplies to reach civilians, and time for negotiating a lasting peace that prevents further violence, suffering, and bloodshed. We pray also that Ukraine and Russia would reach resolution to this now 2.5-year war, strengthen global commitments to nonviolent solutions, guide all who seek refuge from war to a safe haven. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Bring forth water to nourish plants and animals in places suffering from drought. Renew our commitments to protect rivers, especially the Olentangy, lakes, especially Lake Erie, streams, and our local reservoirs, and make a good steward of water in our homes and communities. Preserve wetland habitats and the creatures that make them their homes. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Comfort all who live with chronic illness. Surround them in your tender embrace and sustain all who provide ongoing care and support. Bring hope and healing to people struggling with addiction, and nourish the spirits of all who are in recovery. Especially this day, we lift to you those who are ill, suffering. Paige, Robin, Phil, Carl, Jim, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Stephanie and Nathan, Tina, Kathy, Barb, Jane, Noel, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, and Martha. And for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. By your goodness, O God, today we feed your children, Liz, Caitlin, and Andrew. Not leftover scraps or crumbs dropped to the floor, but bread and wine from your very table, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. May this food nourish them today and throughout their lives as they return here for sustenance over and over again. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We entrust these and all our prayers to you, Holy God. In the name of your beloved child, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ... I gotta look it up. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, source of every gift of your creation. By these gifts and with our lives, help us to serve one another in all needs. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, we ask that you remember us in your kingdom and that you teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Though none of us is worthy All of us are invited. Come to the table where we are not fed scraps and crumbs, but the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And though you're all invited, I am going to invite the families, well, first of all, those receiving First Communion, Liz. What? You don't want to, you have to come up to get First Communion. You don't have to come up by yourself. Liz and Andrew and Kevin, all of you are invited up with your families first, and then the rest of you can go. You're still important, though. Hey, dude, over here. Here. Come on, over here. Give it to your sister. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. All right. It tastes weird. This is the body of Christ broken for you. You did say you didn't want to commune, right? Okay. Okay. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. A few announcements. What he is like. Anyway, it is Bake My Day month. It's a clever pun. Anyway, bring some baking mixes, frosting, bread, all the stuff that's listed in your bulletin for CCSG. We've gotten some donations already. Thank you very much. That will be for the rest of September. We will be having a potluck after worship today. If you didn't bring anything, you have to leave immediately. Just kidding. There is plenty, I'm sure. So please stay. Please head down the hallway, and there's an elevator. You can ride it to the floor basement. There's also a stairway, if you're not familiar. But yes, please head that way after the service and join us for a potluck. And then next Sunday, you can show up here at 10. We will not be here. So we will be at St. Paul in North Robinson next Sunday. But don't show up there either. There's this little cabin a little bit south of Colonel Crawford High School. So show up there with a lawn chair and also a dish or a dessert to share for a potluck there after the service. They're working to make it so it is very accessible. There will be a, if you can't walk real far, they will have golf carts to kind of drive you from the parking lot to where you need to go, or you can drive your car up as long as it's not super wet and get dropped off there and whatever. So please come for that. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. And as a reminder, the noisy offering is for Zenden for the Galleon Local Schools. You. We are going to pray for the meal so you don't stand down there and wait for us to pray for the meal. So, let us pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for all of the food we are about to eat and for the time that we are about to spend together in fellowship. Thank you for all of the hands that have prepared it and brought it to us from the field all the way to the tables. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. And And now, as I dismiss you, there will be a response that you give that says, "We will," and then you'll say something else. All right. I just want to remind you that when you say stuff in church, don't lie. God does not like it when you lie in church. Okay. God's love and mercy isn't for one region or people or nation. Hold on. Keep going. It is not just for Syrophoenician or American man or woman, young or old. It is for all people. Go now and proclaim the good news of God's boundless love for all people.
We will. Thanks be to God.
You said you would do it.